Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into week number one's preview here. So I got myself some notes, went through all of the game lines, all your start sit stuff, and we're just going to run it right down. So New Orleans at Atlanta. Atlanta 5.5-point underdog. Atlanta last year, 28th against quarterbacks, 23rd against running backs, 26th against receivers, and 15th against tight ends. So pretty friendly there in terms of giving up fantasy points. That's just the fantasy points that they allowed last year. Jameis, 18th in start rate, so mid quarterback 2, mid running back 1 for Kamara at 6th. Michael Thomas and Landry, 32 and 44 respectively. I think that's a fair like look-see type of range for both of those guys. I do think if you're thinking about Landry, a guy that's probably in our orbit, honestly, and is undervalued, to see him come in week one as wide receiver 44, that's actually a good sign. There's a couple of these that I came out and I was like, wow, that is grim. Not so for Landry. That's a pretty good one for Landry. So I think that's a potential source of value here looking forward. Limited for Michael Thomas. So heading in the right direction, we'll see. It's going to be a situation to watch here over the weekend. I'm recording this about 1 o'clock on Friday. So that's definitely something you'll have to watch pregame and just make sure he's going to give it a go. But it looks like he's heading in the right direction. On the other side, you have Atlanta here. They're facing New Orleans, who ranked 8th against the quarterback last year, 2nd against the running backs, 18th against receivers, and 8th against tight ends. That all adds up to Marcus Mariota having the 32nd highest start rate. Not great. Running back 28 for Cordarrelle Patterson, 47 for Drake London. The highest spot there would be Kyle Pitts at tight end 3, notably limited for Drake London on Wednesday and Thursday. So heading in the right direction to play. I'm not necessarily sure he's going to be in your lineup if you're running it out there right now. All right, some others. The next one here up is San Francisco versus Chicago. Chicago's a 7-point favorite. Kittle no practice Wednesday or Thursday. A tweet from Matt Barrows, I believe, of The Athletic. George Kittle missed his second straight practice with a groin injury Thursday, increasing the chances the 49ers' top tight end won't play the Bears on Sunday. The team would use a rotation of tight ends in his place, with Ross Dwelly perhaps getting the most targets in the passing game. So that's not a good sign. I think this could be a potential buy-low scenario. We're going to watch trades here over the weekend and see what we can find. But a potential buy-low scenario certainly for Kittle. When you look last year, San Francisco ranked 13th against the quarterback, 10th against the running back, 21st against wide receiver, and 7th against the tight end. This week we see Fields at 23, Monty at 21, 27 for Darnell Mooney, and 11 for Cole Kmet. So pretty in line with where they were projected for the season. That's notable there. The 49ers here, I would say a little bit more friendly terrain. Quarterback, Chicago ranked 19th against the quarterbacks last year. Again, different defensive coordinator and the like there. So we'll have to. That'll be a watch for sure. 14th against the running back, 16th against the receiver, and 5th against the tight end. So Lance, quarterback 15. And start rate, Mitchell 23rd, Ayuk 39th, Debo 9th, and Kittle likely out. So Dwelly doesn't really have a start rate as of yet, but that's a situation we're going to watch for. I think Dwelly's firmly on like the tight end 2 type landscape. If you've got Kittle and you think maybe this is a multiple week injury, adding a guy like Dwelly could be of particular value. Next here. Oh, by the way, I did want to note that Velus Jones dealing with a hamstring injury, DNP, to start the week. So not heading in the right direction for the senior citizen rookie wide receiver. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a 6.5-point favorite. Cincinnati last year was 18th against quarterbacks, 22nd against running backs, 14th against wide receivers, 26th against tight ends. So actually friendly to go up against. I think we see a little bit of that. Trubisky 29th in terms of start rate, so not a ton of optimism there. But 9th for Najee Harris, again, not a ton of optimism there. Deontay Johnson, 28th. Not a ton of optimism. Chase Claypool, 43rd. Nope. And Pat Freiermuth is at 10. So that's right about, yeah, that's in the ballpark. Largely pessimistic on the start rate so far this week. So, again, the difference between like 9 and 3 for running backs isn't terribly different. But I think that the Deontay Johnson, 28, and Chase Claypool, 43, are notable ones there. No major injury notes or anything from this game either. Pittsburgh ranked 11th against quarterbacks, 24th against running backs, 10th against wide receivers, and 10th against tight ends last year. So pretty middle of the road, nothing too major. Burrow right at 7, Mixon at 7, Chase at 1, Higgins 15, Boyd 47, Hayden Hurst 24th. So I think those are pretty in line with the preseason valuations there. Ultimately for Cincinnati, and I think a little bit, maybe a little bit bearish in terms of the projections for Pittsburgh coming here out of the gate, new quarterback and all that situation there. All right, Philly at Detroit. Detroit's a 4-point home dog. I do think they are live to win this game, so it'll be interesting watch here. Philly ranked 12th against the quarterbacks, 25th against running backs, 2nd against wide receivers, and 32nd against tight ends last year. We see Goff at quarterback 22, Swift at running back 11, so right on that 1-2 tier there. Jamal Williams is at running back 43, so certainly a playable flex if you need it against a defense that didn't do a particularly good job against running backs last year, so not a bad spot to potentially be in, starting someone in, and I think they have a pretty good offensive line as well. So if you have to start a guy, Jamal Williams, as an injury away sort of plus guy, right? He's got committee plus type abilities. Not a bad spot there. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 25th. Shark, 42nd. Hockenson, 7th. So pretty neutral there in terms of where they came in on the season, I would say, overall. I mentioned Miles Sanders is going to play full participant practice. That was a little bit of a question here coming into the season. What was his health situation like coming out of the preseason? Jalen Hurts, quarterback 6. Sanders, running back 34. Just dismal there. Kenneth Gainwell, 46. A.J. Brown, 11th. Devontae Smith, 35th. And Goddard is at 6. So Goddard ahead of Hockenson in this game. Couple of tight ends were definitely interested here in the AOD sphere. Next game up is Baltimore versus the Jets. Dobbins limited. So he's definitely a watch candidate. I think Mike Davis, potential spot start here, is definitely a guy we have in mind. Lamar Jackson, for what it's worth, again, how much you want to take sort of injury information from teammates is I think an open question, but he did say, hey, you know, we're looking forward to having Dobbins back in a couple of weeks. That was something that sort of stuck with me, limited for Dobbins. I'm not sure if he's ever been fully characterized as like a full participant in practice yet, or, you know, they don't have to do that in training camp, of course. But the fact that he's limited to start, I think gives me a little bit of pause about his readiness to play week one. So I am firing up Mike Davis getting his engines revving, as if I'm going to potentially put him in the lineup. I have more on that in a second here. Ronnie Stanley limited DNP with an ankle, so I'm not sure the full status of that, so we'll have to watch for that. The tackle for Baltimore. Dwayne Brown, tackle for the Jets, out with a shoulder injury. Zach Wilson also out, so going to start Flacco. The Jets, 22nd against running backs. Sorry, 22nd against quarterbacks, 32nd against running backs, 13th against wide receivers, and 30th against tight ends. So a good matchup really across the board, neutral-ish with the receivers, but otherwise pretty good there. Lamar Jackson, quarterback 4. And notably, no contract extension for Lamar Jackson either. So I don't know if that necessarily matters for this week or anything like that, but hopefully a highly motivated, ready to go Lamar Jackson here. Not that we have doubts about that, but hopefully fully motivated to make that bag. So he's quarterback 4 in terms of start rate. Then there's a bunch of running backs, right? Literally a 3-person bunch within an 11 spot. So Dobbins at 37, Mike Davis 39, Kenyon Drake at 48. When you combine them out, that's 46%. That's good for about running back 30 or so. So if they consolidate, I think not only do they get to, you know, if Dobbins is ruled out, for example, I think Davis could potentially push to that 46%, probably even higher, right? I just think, you know, at this point you have people making lineup decisions and they're like, all right, like Dobbins, we're not sure on Dobbins. He's just not, none of these guys are in the lineup yet. Well, I do think like when we get closer to the actual game, that number should go up. And I feel pretty confident. Again, if maybe there's a spot where it's a little bit of a crowded backfield, and you, Davis is really like your running back 5 or 6, something like that for this week. Maybe that's how he doesn't end up in your lineup. But otherwise, like, this should be a pretty good situation for him to get a start, would sort of be my hunch. If Dobbins doesn't play, no Gus Edwards, like this is the matchup against the Jets as a defense. I kind of like a spot start for Davis. I'm not sure though if Lamar Jackson brings out the best in Davis. Davis has been a pretty good pass catcher. It's never really been Lamar's bag in terms of throwing the ball to running backs. So we'll see how that ultimately fits. But I do think he could feel pretty comfortable playing him in the running back, in that running back range, especially against the Jets this week. Bateman at wide receiver 30, which is interesting. You know, that's kind of right where you would expect there. That's notably ahead of Devonta Smith, for example. That's interesting. Andrews at tight end too, so pretty good there. Flacco is at quarterback 25. Breece Hall running back 24. Michael Carter running back 40. And I will say this, there's some quotes out there about the offensive coordinator really speaking up highly about Michael Carter here over the past week. Notable. Like, we could be in a situation where it's actually a Daryl Henderson, Cam Akers type situation. So just be on the watch for that. Michael Carter is probably one of the better injury away running backs at this point. If you can nab him for a third plus or something like that, I might potentially be in on that, based on LaFleur, the Jets offensive coordinator, calling Michael Carter, quote, the heartbeat of our offense. Interesting optimism there for Michael Carter. So that's a name that maybe you do it quickly and sort of as a, third plus type valuation. I'm interested in doing that for Michael Carter here before game kicks off this week. Again, and he's at 40 behind Breece Hall. When you look at the receiver situation, it's Elijah Moore at 40, Corey Davis at 50, and then Garrett Wilson's well into the well outside the top 50. Uzama 26. I think probably maybe this offense is best described as stay away this week, with the potential of, hey, can you add Michael Carter as kind of like a cheap injury away guy? Like, that would be, I think, a savvy move heading into this week. Some other stuff here. You've got New Orleans at Miami. Miami 2.5 point favorite, 46.5 over under. Note that's higher than I expected this number to be at. So for what that's worth, no Miami injury concerns. Myers is a limited participant so far this week. So we'll see how it looks like he should be heading in the right direction to potentially go here. But he's well into the 60s in terms of his RDP. Mac Jones, 28 in terms of start rate, 25th for Harris, 33rd for Stevenson, 48th for Devontae Parker, 66th for Jacoby Myers, 15th for Hunter Henry. So no starters. No one inside the top. This our starter definition, our starter thresholds here at AOD. Miami, 10th best against quarterbacks last year, 17th against running backs, 11th against wide receivers, 17th against tight ends. So about as neutral as you can be across the board for Miami, and basically no No starter action there out of the Patriots offense. Not necessarily a great sign for what's to come. We look down at Miami. Miami has a little bit tougher. The Patriots were second against quarterbacks, 20th against running backs, third against wide receivers, first against tight ends last year. So Tua at 18, Chase Edmonds 31st. And I thought maybe the biggest split here was Tyreek Hill at wide receiver 7 and Waddle at 29. That seems like it's too big of a split for me. So again, if that's going to potentially happen, I do think there's a potential buy situation here on Waddle. So, you know, we'll see. I think that's maybe an indication that the Waddle GMs are a little bit pessimistic here in this marketplace. Gesicki at 13, that seems like... it seems like a lot based on where he has struggled so far in camp to really get into this system. Washington minus 2.5 at home against Jacksonville. Washington was 32nd against quarterbacks last year, 16th against running backs, 28th against wide receivers, 18th against tight ends. You've got Trevor Lawrence sort of benefiting from that as quarterback 20. Again, we say benefiting from that, like, it's one of those things. If a tree falls in the woods, does it matter? Like, who cares? And that's kind of what finishing in the low quarterback twos would feel like. That's a disaster. It would not help his stock, I do not think. So he really needs to be better than that in a situation where, frankly, Washington's wasn't good against quarterbacks last year. This isn't a good spot for, like, this is a humbling number for Trevor Lawrence, for what that's worth. 18th for Etienne, 42nd for Robinson, 38th for Kirk, 45th for Marvin Jones, 23rd for Evan Ingram. So the only starter projected there is Travis Etienne. Again, I think pretty favorable for the quarterback and the wide receiver, and then about average there for the running backs and tight ends. Jacksonville, for their part, 21st against quarterbacks, 18th against running backs, 25th against wide receivers, 11th against tight ends. So pretty neutral-ish. Sort of right in that range there, relatively balanced. Wentz is 21st in start rate, so notably behind Trevor Lawrence. 19th for Gibson, 41st for McKissick, 13th for McLaurin. Dotson sort of off the radar outside the top 50, and then Logan Thomas at 36. Logan Thomas here, we're going to watch as he works his way back. Limited. Similar conversation with Dobbins. Not entirely sure. We haven't gotten a great look yet on what they want to do, but that's a spot. John Bates, full participant, so there was some question about his health. Cole Turner, limited with a couple of practices with a hamstring issue there. So definitely on the watch, right? I think this could be a potential John Bates spot start if Logan Thomas is out. Next game up is the Baker Bowl. So we've got Cleveland at Carolina. It's a pick 'em at 42, so one of the lower projected scores of the week here. McCaffrey, he like cleated himself, it looks like, or somehow he got like hit with cleats. I don't know if he got stepped on or stepped on himself, but he popped up on the injury report. He's good to go, so there's no worry there. But that is of note there. That sucks. I've done that before, and it's, I don't know if he got stepped on or how that happened, but those rip you pretty good. So glad he's okay. He's at running back 3. And the week in start rate, so that's good. And then when you look at Carolina, so we'll start with Cleveland for a second here. They were 9th against quarterbacks last year, 13th against running backs, 8th against wide receivers, 14th against tight ends. So overall, good on the more difficult side of each matchup, although not any dominant feature they had last year. You look at it, Mayfield quarterback 24. McCaffrey, running back 3. DJ Moore, wide receiver 23. Those are the guys in the top 50 of wide receivers. So you'll notice, or top 50 at their position. So you notice DJ Moore. No Robbie Anderson or anything yet there in terms of a second guy creeping up into the top 50 there. So we'll have to watch that situation. I do think it's a situation where if Robbie Anderson could really bounce back, like he can, he could see 100-plus targets. So we'll watch for that. Carolina against opposing offenses last year. They ranked third against quarterbacks, fifth against running backs, sixth against wide receivers, and 16th against tight ends. So pretty good defense across the board there. Neutral on tight ends, 31st for Brissett in terms of start rate. Nick Chubb, 8th. Kareem Hunt, 32nd. Amari Cooper, 33rd. And David Njoku, 16th. So you're basically your lone starter is Chubb with a bunch of guys that are in either flex or sort of streamer type positions there. Excited to watch that game because that could be a fun one. Indianapolis at Houston. Houston's a 7-point dog. Lots of change, of course, going on with Indianapolis, so we'll watch there. Indy last year, 26th against quarterbacks, 3rd against running backs, 22nd against wide receivers, 27th against tight ends. They're not starting. They will not have Darius Leonard this week, so that's of note there. Potential benefit to Damian Pierce. No starters outside of Brandon Cooks. Projected yet, 26th for Davis Mills, 29th for Pierce, 18th for Cooks, and Brevin Jordan comes in at 29th there. Good, as you would expect for Indy, number one for Jonathan Taylor, last year's quarterback one. Running back one, excuse me, back right there with the top start rate on the week. You have Pittman at 12, Mo Alie-Cox at 26, and Matt Ryan firmly in the high-end quarterback two range at quarterback 16. Notably, Houston bad across the board last year, 24th against quarterbacks, 28th against running backs, 24th against wide receivers, 22nd against tight ends. So a pretty favorable matchup there for Indy going on the road. We'll see how Ryan transitions in week one. Next up, we have the Giants at Tennessee. Tennessee is a 5.5-point favorite. That's a pretty low number as well at 43.5. Tennessee last year ranked 23rd against quarterbacks, 1st against opposing running backs, 31st against opposing wide receivers, and 6th against tight ends. We'll see how this team could potentially benefit. That being the Giants. Daniel Jones at 27 in terms of start right there. No one's super optimistic about that. Barkley at 13. That is a little bit below what his ADP closes out at, so people sort of feeling that good matchup. 31st at wide receiver and 6th at tight end. Bellinger is the tight end, but he's at 38. I mean, so that's not really usable. Kadarius Toney's at 53 as the best wide receiver. So Sterling Shepard, a couple limited practices coming off the Achilles. Again, I will be interested to see like what they do with that. I don't know if he's really a realistic guy coming in this week. I wouldn't touch him. I want to see him prove it. Coming into the season. I think maybe he could bounce back and be a rebound guy and like actually see a role in this offense if he's healthy, but I got to see it a little bit first. The Giants, again, a lot of change on their team from coaching staff and whatnot. They ranked 6th against the quarterbacks last year, 27th against running backs, 12th against wide receivers, 19th against tight ends. So Derrick Henry going to seize on that at running back 2 in terms of start rate. 19th for Tannehill, 37th for Woods, and 21st for Hooper. So the only real starter there is Derrick Henry with some of the other guys. You know, Tannehill's is a super flex play, and then the other guys are sort of streaming there position-wise. Green Bay, it looks like a couple of DNPs for Lazard. Looks like he's not going to play as I'm sort of recording this. That's the indication there, so just keep an eye on that. Green Bay is a 1.5-point favorite at Minnesota. 47 is the over-under, so it's okay. Not a huge number, but it's a decent it's a decent spread there in terms of the over-under number. Is it Sammy Watkins' season? We'll have to see. Robert Tonyan, a couple of limited practices. Again, I want to see him participate in a game before I really trust that. So I think he's a watch for his health-wise here coming out of, coming into week one, coming off the injury. Bakhtiari is good to go, so that's good news there. Minnesota ranked 29th against quarterbacks, 19th against running backs, 32nd against wide receivers, 9th against tight ends. Again, going to see a rejiggering of their scheme and whatnot because of a change in coaching staff. Rodgers, 11th at quarterback start rate, 10th for Aaron Jones, 27th for Dylan. So he's a flex plus type guy. Lazard at 36. That is sure to go down if he doesn't play. Watkins at 53. I would imagine that goes up if Lazard doesn't play. Watkins was actually the stash of the week for Football Guys last week on our sleeper feature of the week. So hopefully we'll be heading in the right direction there. His stats in week one, again, small sample size, caveats apply, but my goodness, like, he's been outrageous in week one, like the past like 3 or 4 years. It's been really notably different than any other weeks, all of the other weeks of the season there for Watkins. 28th for Tanyan, again, we'll see there. I think you wait to see him actually prove that he's healthy and can get out there and play. Cousins is going to get a decent matchup. They were 27th against quarterbacks last year, Green Bay was, 7th against running backs, 15th against wide receivers, 20th against tight ends. Cousins is at 14, so almost right up there with Rodgers. I think that's interesting. Dalvin Cook is running back 5. Again, it's interesting that I think it's really interesting that Aaron Jones and Dalvin Cook, there's such a split between them, because I think both could push up there at the top of the position, but it's interesting there that Dalvin Cook, even with a good matchup, is a good chunk ahead of Aaron Jones in the rankings there. Jefferson's at wide receiver 2. Thielen's is at 21. So these guys, they actually have 4 guys and 3 guys that are starters, and Cousins just outside the top 12 there. And then Irv Smith Jr. at 22. So again, I'm not super interested in Irv Smith at present. Kansas City is a 6-point favorite against Arizona. Ertz went limited practice DNP. Rondale Moore popped up with a hamstring. This could be AJ Green season again, like without DeAndre Hopkins. It's going to be an interesting watch here. Max Williams is a guy that we like last year. We'll have to see what this deal with Ertz is. Who knows? It could be he got his calf stepped on, a la McCaffrey, or it could be, an extended calf strain. I'm not entirely sure what the severity on this is yet. As I'm recording this, it's before they've practiced on Friday, so just keep an eye open. That's one you'll want to watch for over the weekend. And again, Schefter, Rappaport tweets and stuff like that late Saturday morning, early Sunday morning. We'll probably have some more information about the nature of this injury, one would imagine. KC was 31st against quarterbacks last year. They got rid of Daniel Sorensen, so I'm sure that number's going to improve. 21st against running backs, 23rd against wide receivers, 13th against tight ends. Murray, quarterback 5. I'll be interested to see if Rondale Moore doesn't play, if Ertz doesn't play, if maybe that number slides a little bit. Again, there's only so much you can really slide at quarterback, just because there's not a ton of competition there to go down to. But we'll see if maybe that slides just a little bit. In terms of his start rate there. Connor's at 14, so a firm running back 2. Marquise Brown, 16. AJ Green, 52. Zach Ertz, 12. I saw someone calling out Andy Isabella. He's going to be one that I'm going to have to believe it before I can trust it, or see it before I trust it. Arizona, 15th against quarterbacks last year, 8th against running backs, 29th against wide receivers, 2nd against tight ends. So some favorable territory there for a potentially Juju Smith-Schuster or Marquez Valdez-Scantling to establish himself in the wide receiver range. That'd be interesting. Mahomes, quarterback 1. Kelce, tight end 1. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 26. Juju Smith-Schuster, 22. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 60. So you got 2 guys in the top 1 of their position, and then Juju Smith-Schuster is in the top 24. I think the other guys, Edwards-Helaire is more of a flex play, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling a little bit more of a desperation heave-ho type of play this week. Vegas and the Chargers. Vegas is a 3.5-point underdog on the road against the Chargers. 52.5, one of the higher numbers of the week. DNP for Donald Parham. He's missed some time throughout camp with his hamstring, so not good there. We'll have to watch for his for his hopeful return here early in the season, but not looking good so far. JC Jackson out with a with an injury, as he had surgery there, is on his way back. But that's some potential good news for Vegas. Isaiah Spiller, full practices, good to go for this week, but he's fourth on the depth chart. So that's one of the things we'll really have to watch for here over the next, I don't know, week or couple of weeks, month or so, in terms of how that situation, how that priority pecking order ultimately unfolds. Vegas here, overall, they're facing the Chargers, quarterback 14th against the quarterback last year, 26th against running backs, 4th against wide receivers, 31st against tight ends. Some good stuff there for Waller in that number. So Carr at 13. Josh Jacobs at 20, or excuse me, at 17 against that 26th ranked defense there against running backs last year. So that's a potential boon there. Adams is at 4 against a strong passing, strong defense against wide receivers. Renfro 31st, and then Waller is at 4. So Waller there is kind of the matchup against the bad defense. Again, that's a revamped defense, so I wouldn't put a ton into that. But they have done a lot to invest in that defense, but struggled with that and struggled to really stop the run last year. So we'll be on the watch for how they hold up against this new look Vegas offense this year. Vegas, again, for what stickiness they have from last year, 30th against running backs, 16th against quarterbacks, 5th against wide receivers, 28th against tight ends. These teams really mirrored each other in their performances there. Herbert, quarterback 3, Eckler 4, Allen 9, Mike Williams, wide receiver 20, and Everett 19. So four guys in the starter range of their positions. Some good optimism there to start the season for the Chargers. The Sunday night game is Tampa Bay. There's a whole bunch of injury stuff here for them. So a couple limited practices for Gio with an ankle. He looks like he's trending probably positive. You got a couple of limited practices with Russell Gage dealing with a hamstring, so that's trending in a good direction. Chris Godwin, full practice on Wednesday, DMP on Thursday. That's an ACL, MCL return situation. So not entirely certain about what that is, if it's an actual setback or whatnot. We'll have to watch the weekend, watch the Friday practice reports, and definitely into the weekend. Julio went DNP with a non-injury, so if that was just a veteran's rest day or whatnot on Wednesday. And then Thursday, he was a full participant, so trending positive. Again, this is a situation where you could get two or three guys potentially in the receiving core if it's the right two or three guys sort of pairing down. Not sure as of yet who those are going to be. So, again, take with this start numbers a grain of salt because there's a lot of uncertainty there. Dallas ranked 5th against quarterbacks last year, 4th against running backs, 17th against wide receivers, 24th against tight ends. Brady is quarterback 9 in terms of start rate, Fournette 12. Evans, wide receiver 6. Godwin, wide receiver 41. Again, that will move, I would expect, with this news. And I would expect that Julio Jones or Russell Gage, depending on sort of what news we get from them and their health, specifically Gage, that will move that number up on Julio. And I could see Julio being a potential starter this week if you need him. Like if he's healthy and he's going to be out there and he's going to be a top 2 or 3 option for Brady, you play him, right? I mean, this is a situation why you have him on your, if you're not going to play him in this situation, you're probably, you're either stacked at wide receiver or like you're just not going to play him and you should figure out a way to potentially benefit from that. Cameron Brady, notably 14th in start rate. So some optimism there in the market for him. Dallas, we've got Prescott at 10, Zeke at 16, Tony Pollard at 36, CeeDee Lamb at 8, and Schultz at 5. Notably Gallup, a couple limited practices again. So he's already listed as out for the week as he comes back from his ACL. So we'll watch there. Dak did pop up with an ankle on Thursday. So it doesn't look like it's anything serious, but just keep an eye on that just in case something, we get more information over the weekend here on that situation. Tampa was tough on quarterbacks last year. I'm sorry. Tampa actually could give it up to quarterbacks last year, 20th in terms of their performance against quarterbacks, 15th against running backs, 19th against wide receivers, and 21st against tight ends. So I think people generally think their defense was pretty tough, and it was, but it wasn't more difficult than like league average or so against their opponents that they played last year. So this is a spot where I think you can start with some comfort, Dallas guys, and not necessarily be running away from this Tampa defense. I think if there's a big question on Dallas, it'll be how their offensive line performs. But that's we've seen Prescott sort of neutralize that by the quick release stuff. So we're definitely going to watch how this offense looks, but I'm okay playing, I think, their top four guys, Prescott, Elliott, Lamb, and Schultz. All right, and last but not least, we have the Russell Wilson Bowl. So we have the Baker Mayfield Revenge Tour. We've got the Russell Wilson something other than the Revenge Tour, I guess. Walker, it was a DNP on Thursday. Again, they play on Monday, so we're not getting the full information here in terms of practice spots. I'm operating under the assumption that he's not going to play. He had that appendicitis issue. I'm operating under the assumption he's not going to play. So just for what that's worth, Seattle 17th against quarterbacks last year, 31st against running backs, 9th against wide receivers, 25th against tight ends. Yeah, Russell Wilson, quarterback 8, Javonte Williams 15. Again, danger, Will Robinson. If the 31st defense, you're going to draw a 15th start rate, that's a sign of a significantly overpriced running back. So for what that is worth there on Javonte Williams. Melvin Gordon, 35th. So again, he's a flexible play guy, a injury way plus potential guy there. Sutton, 14th. Judy, 26th. So that's pretty favorable there for Judy. And then Albert O is 17th. So we'll watch that. We'll watch how that goes. I do think just some more information that Sutton ahead of Judy, right? We've seen that in market data basically throughout the offseason, and we continue to see that here. Denver ranked 4th against quarterbacks last year, 11th against running backs, 7th against wide receivers, 4th against tight ends. So top 12 in all against all the positions last year. Geno, 30th in terms of start rate. Penny, 20th. Metcalf, 17th. Lockett, 34. And Fant is at 18. So I think Metcalf, you feel probably okay playing. Lockett in the flex range, wide receiver 3 range, you're all right with it. Penny, I mean, if you're going to play, like this is like you probably play Penny when he's healthy. This is one of those situations I'm probably not super optimistic about playing Geno if I have to play him this week, or if I've got other options. You know, I've got some Geno, Jared Goff spots. Like, I'd rather play Goff than Geno this week. So those are really the big takeaways. I'll do a little reaction to week one in terms of the Thursday night stuff. I would say I'm not super concerned about Allen Robinson. I'll be interested to read a little bit more of the data and stuff and see the snaps and the routes and all that stuff. If one game, all the stuff goes towards one receiver in one game, like, I think that stuff can happen. So I'm not writing off of his career or anything like that, but I am interested to sort of see some more of the data. So I'll get some of that and we'll react in full on Monday, as well as the, Cam Akers. I will say this, like, if you don't believe in Cam Akers coming into this season because of the Achilles, like Monday or Thursday night, week one, should not be like a bullet point in your argument. I think that drawing a big conclusion from that is probably wrong, right? He was banged up in the preseason. Again, if you think that's related to his Achilles, like that's fine, but I don't think week one really corroborates that. They just played Darrell Henderson ahead of him, right? Maybe they just trust Darrell Henderson more. I'm not going to take anything big on that. What I will say is, if you're interested, if you're in the market on Cam Akers, I would treat him as an injury away guy, right? Treat him as that cost, kind of in that second round range. If you can sort of piece players together to sort of get to that range, I'm fine doing that. That would sort of be how I would think about him. Like Pacheco plus, like, yeah, let's do that type of deal for a guy like Cam Akers instead of just selling I don't love doing the deal where I just sell picks for him, because like I've historically have not done that trade well. I'd much rather sell like lower pieces for him and try and sort of catch him that way. So those are just my thoughts there. I'm not worried about Stafford long term either. So, all right, that'll do it for this. Again, this is your week one primer. And we will have all your snap reactions. Again, I'll have snap reactions on Monday. I will have as Monday sort of progresses, I'll release more stuff. Sunday night, when you wake up on Monday, you'll have my initial sort of reactions. And then as I can get data and sort of record them, Monday into Tuesday, I'll have more content for you reacting in full to week one. And then by the time really we go to bed on Tuesday night, I will have basically understood or attempted to, the best I can, understand week one, and then we begin preparing for week two. So I have all that content there for you. I do have to work my day job on, or my fake job, as my daughter calls it, on Monday afternoon. So I might be a podcast behind. I might be a podcast behind during the day. I will hope to have two of the snap reactions, two positions done on Monday, two of them on Tuesday. But I might have to change that a little bit just because of another obligation that I have. But by the time I go to bed Tuesday, you'll have all your stuff for all your snap reactions. You will have all your waiver wire stuff as well, preparing you for your waiver runs on Wednesday. So that'll do it for this edition. All right. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.